rock at the moon.
Hey, wrestling fans, this is Wolfie Dean. You're listening to Live at the Armory Wrestling Show.
Welcome to Live from the Armory Wrestling Show, the premier podcast of indie wrestling.
It's just Laura and I talking about, you know, me wearing silk pajamas and a smoking jacket and all that other good stuff.
Our studio line is area code 213-816-1605 with your host, Bunkhouse Bob.
I will bounce you like a lowrider in a Dr. Dre video, and that's no joke.
And the lovely Laura.
I think you should be beaten with a wet noodle.
For those of you that have the benefit of smartphone technology and Wi-Fi free, courtesy of McDonald's, you're listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Radio Show. How you doing, folks? My name is Bunkhouse Bob. I am your co-host. Joining me in just a moment will be the other co-host, the lovely Laura. Folks, we'd like to thank you for listening tonight, wherever you're at, whether you're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio or whether or not you're downloading this on iTunes. You can find us on iTunes if you go to iTunes and simply type in Armory in the search bar and then go to the podcast link and click it, and we pull up there. And, of course, we're on Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Our studio number is 213-816-1605. Got an exciting show for you tonight, folks. It is the Triple J Show. Tonight we have Jake Manning, Justin Fireball, and Jackson James will be with us tonight. And, of course, without a J, you know, we'll throw in an L and a B and a O to the C, O to the G, and then there's Laura.
Oh, and then there's Laura, like, and then there's Maud.
How are you, Laura?
I'm pretty good, Bob. And don't ever do that to the whatever you were doing again. Don't ever do that again. That's horrible. No.
I think we should have, like, Bunkhouse Bob to the 10th power. That's what we should have.
I can't handle Bunkhouse Bob to the 1 power.
I know. I'm hard to handle. Folks, in all seriousness, we did want to relay something to you. Both Laura and I here at the show and the listeners, we want to wish indie wrestler Will Demented a speedy and full recovery. Please keep him and his family in your thoughts. Some of you may or may not know Will was involved in a car accident this past week, suffered some big injuries, and we certainly want to keep him in our thoughts and our prayers. If you would like to donate money to help with Will's expenses, you can visit xpwradio.webs.com. If you visit that site, it could give you the information if you'd like to donate any type of money to Will to help cover his expenses right now. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can do that. Our Twitter address is @FromTheArmory. And Laura, how do people find us on Facebook?
Facebook.com/live.armory.9.
That's right. Now, I know that most of you are in some semi-state of mourning, because it is well known throughout the internet universe that CM Punk put out a tweet on 7/15 saying that he would like to thank all of the fans for their support and their well wishes throughout the years, and, you know, blah, 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 not to take crap on, you know, from anybody, so on and so forth. Folks, if you want a in-depth, blow-by-blow analysis of what CM Punk's been doing the last 5 or 6 months, whatever it is, since he walked away from the WWE, you need to find another show, because we're not going to get into CM Punk. He's gone. But, unfortunately, there was somebody that was on Raw Monday night, and I know that Laura is just busting a gut to tell everybody who was on Raw.
My BFF was on Raw.
Caleb Conley, I know. Don't be a rosebud. Don't be a lemon. Be a rosebud, whatever. Yeah.
He was a rosebud. He was the patriotic rosebud on the very far right-hand side of the screen. I got down in the floor up next to my TV to see this. So I was so happy and so proud of him for being on Raw. And I hope that this leads to big things for him. As I've said before, Caleb's going places. He's going to go places in this business. It's just a matter of time.
What I'm thinking is I'm thinking that they probably should have checked those Sonic cups to see if they were loaded up with Conley Aid instead of, grape raspberry nerd Slurpees.
You know that's what they were full of, Conley Aid, and everybody was drinking. Some Conley Aid.
No, everybody was full of something, that's for sure, and it wasn't Conley Aid. Caleb Conley on national TV. What a crock of crap. A joke.
Whatever, Bob, you're just hating. You're just a hater. Just hating on Caleb Conley. And, that's fine.
They should have put him in the bunny suit.
Put that hat on him.
Yeah, I know. Put that head over him so that people wouldn't know who it was. They could have said, I was on TV, they would have said, no, you weren't. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, too pretty. He's too pretty to put on a bunny suit. Happy. And if Caleb, if you are listening, congratulations. I am very tickled for you and so proud.
Yeah, we're just tickled to death. I know, speaking of being tickled, that you were tickled multiple times at the Fireball show, weren't you?
Bob, what happens at the Grindhouse stays at the Grindhouse.
Oh, my bad. I forgot.
I will talk about the Grindhouse, though, a little later on. Actually, it's time to do that real quick.
You talk
had
about
a great
the Grindhouse.
Time.
You talk about the Grindhouse. I'll be back in just a second.
All right. Folks, if you missed Justin Fireball's Grindhouse shows, there's been two. It's at the Tremont Music Hall, Charlotte, North Carolina. Just a wild experience. Wrestling bands. There were some go-go dancers. There was a match for a pizza. Big Country was there. Necro Butcher and Justin Fireball had a knockdown, slap, drag out. I have never seen a death match live. And light tubes were used. They fought out in the ring. I think I even got blood on my purse. It was just, it was a sight to be seen. Also, there were some sightings. I saw the Tommy Thomas, who put our show over quite a few times. Thank you, Tommy. Always appreciate that. Miss Tessa Blanchard was there. Got to hang out with her for a little bit. It was very cool to do that. Saw Jake Manning there. So, speaking of Jake.
No. I thought maybe it was, but we'll keep going on. Carry on.
Okay. Carry on. Saw Jake Manning there. Talked to him for a little bit. Talked to him about $5 wrestling. And my good friend James Shaver, who came up from Myrtle Beach, was not amused and left halfway through the program. Yeah, so I really hate that James, this was not James's cup of tea, and me and a couple other people had told him, this may not be your cup of tea. This is just fun. This is not PWX. It's not, anything like you've seen on indie shows. This is just, wrestlers in there having a good time. Sleaze was there. Zane Riley was there. Let's see who else. The Justice League was there. Just a ton of people. Mike Levy it was just a good time to be had by all, just to sit back and drink and watch some wrestling and the wrestlers really interacting with the crowd and the crowd interacting with the wrestlers. My friend Josie rubbed baby oil on Fireball. I did not touch the baby oil this time because I got it all over me the last time. Didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, had a great time. We got to get you up for one of those, Bob.
What in the world would make you think that I'd want to go to a baby oil fest?
Well, there were girls there. Like,
oh, that's right. And
dancers?
I know a couple of them that were there. Maybe, hold on. Maybe I spoke too soon. Laura?
Yes.
Cat got your tongue?
No, I wasn't one of them. No.
No. I just said that there were a couple of girls there that I knew. Maybe I spoke too soon.
Oh, well.
I saw pictures.
Even more reason for you to come up.
Maybe so. We have folks totally baffled. Folks, if you're just tuning in to hear us just, you know, go on back and forth about baby oil and, you know, fireballs, grindhouse shows. You know, that's what we do here. We're just going on. Thanks for hanging out with us. Laura.
Wait, there's a tweet that just came through. I have got to read here in just a second because it's hilarious. Hold on. I hate Twitter.
But all in all, the Fireball show was okay. It was good for you. You had fun.
It was good for me. I had fun. It's just a way to, you know, kick back and relax and not have to be so serious all the time.
Scale of 1 to 10 on fun level.
Oh, it was like a 20.
20 on fun level. There you go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, easily. But hold on just a moment before we get Jake on the phone because tweet actually came to my personal account.
Oh, boy. Here it goes.
I think. Jordan Castle, the way at Circle Sky is talking about at Caleb Conley reminds me of when I was stuck next to 40-year-old Orton fangirls at Raw. Jordan, you shouldn't say that. I mean, because, you know, you just shouldn't say that. There's nothing in this world wrong with being a fangirl. Nothing wrong. I think I'm gonna put you on suspension from Team Caleb, Jordan.
Oh, God. Jordan Castle. Thank you for your update, Jordan. And you also went to the XWW Ink Fest show this weekend. You had a busy weekend.
I had a very busy weekend. Didn't get up till like 9 o'clock Saturday morning, but that's a different story. I think XWW doesn't get the credit that it deserves because I saw mm-hmm. some really good matches involving mm-hmm. the Justice League. Once again, Zane Riley was there. He wrestled Sephiroth for the XWW title. It was a great match. Sleaze was there as well. He had a match, went well. Mm-hmm. Jason Cross and that hardcore match for the XWW title.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Houston, Colt 45, and Justin Fireball. Terry Houston is the new XWW Hardcore Champion. He duct taped Fireball to the ring post and then went over and pinned Colt 45.
So we'd like to send out congratulations. To former show guest and new
Houston.
Yep, XWW Hardcore Champion Terry F. in Houston. He's holding like 16 belts right now, isn't he?
He's got three. He holds the Smash Mouth Championship from Milestone. He, I can't remember what the other one is. It's from a promotion in Lexington. I'm sorry, Terry. I can't remember off the top of my head. And then, of course, XWW's hardcore title, which he said a number of times on our show that Fireball had a belt that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So he went out and got it.
Give me a second, Laura, all right?
Okie dokie. While Bob is taking care of business here, I just want to say once again that I don't think that XWW gets the credit that it deserves. I think that if XWWE is in your area, which they mainly run the Charlotte area, you should go out and see them because they have some really talented people on their roster. I think you should definitely check them out. It's not all hardcore, but they've got some people that work really hard to put on great matches to entertain you, and I was thoroughly entertained Saturday. I left before the suspension from the skin was starting to go on. That's not really my cup of tea, but hey, you know, after the weekend I had, it was probably tame, comparatively speaking, but, you know, that's what happens when you go to a grindhouse show and then the next day you go to a tattoo convention to watch wrestling. So, again, if Fireball does have another grindhouse show.
I'm back, Laura.
Okay.
I'll be right back in a moment. I'm having some difficulties here. Hold on.
Uh-oh. Thanks, Blog Talk. But once again, if you're in the Charlotte area on a Friday night that Fireball is having a grindhouse show, you need to come out because I guarantee you will be entertained. You have to come into it with a frame of mind of, you know, this is not a regular indie wrestling show. This is just for fun. This is just people getting together who enjoy working together and to have some fun and to break some light tubes over the back of Necro Butcher. I have to take my hat off to Justin Fireball because he wrestled Necro Butcher that night, and God bless his friends keeping him from bleeding to death Friday night. And then Saturday got up and wrestled a great hardcore match.
What were you talking about? I'm sorry.
I was talking about that Justin Fireball is one tough MF-er because he wrestled Necro Butcher Friday night and then wrestled Terry Houston and Colt 45 Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. And you know, the crazy thing is I saw a little clip of that. Somebody had posted some clips on that on YouTube, and I had forgotten Necro Butcher wrestles barefooted.
Oh gosh, it was just like, oh, I can't believe he's doing that.
It's crazy.
Von Erich's never meant to wrestle like that, you know?
No, it's nuts. But at any rate, folks, as promised, joining us here now will be Jake Manning from $5 Wrestling and many other ventures, but we brought him on tonight to talk a little bit about $5 Wrestling and the upcoming documentary that's going to be filmed on Freight Train. Jake, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing tonight?
Good. I just finishing up work here at the High Spots compound for the evening, so it's a pleasure taking a little break and getting to talk to both of y'all.
Well, we certainly appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. Joining me on the phone with us is Laura, the other co-host.
Hey, Jake.
Hello, Laura. How are you? It was good to see you on Friday night at the Fireball show.
It certainly was good to see you, too. That was wild, huh?
Yes. I didn't stay for the whole thing, so I heard I missed quite a main event. But the whole thing and the show and the whole promotion itself with the bands and the acts and everything else, it was quite a spectacle from beginning to end, that was for sure.
Folks, our studio number is 213-816-1605. Jake, get right down to it. On July the 20th, $5 Wrestling is going to have another event in Elkin, North Carolina at the Elkin National Guard Armory. And this is not going to be an iPay-per-view as other events have been, but in reading on it, it's going to be filmed for a documentary on Freight Train. Can you give us a little info on it? What's been going on with this?
Well, it's a project I've wanted to do for quite some time, but as you all know, over the course of a year, me and Freight Train have been at each other's throats. But, of course, now after WrestleCon, me and Freight Train are friends again. And but like I said, it's a project I've wanted to do for a while because, you know, I've gotten to have the pleasure of traveling with Freight Train for, oh, gosh, since it might be 2009 now, or 2010. It's been a really long time.
Right.
And we've had, you know, we've really, I've gotten to know him, and he's a major positive influence in my life, and I just want to share that with the world why he is so special. And, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about him and five-hour wrestling and stuff like that, and I think this is a good opportunity to clear that up. But also, most importantly, he's a great story. Before I met him, he'd been wrestling for 14 years, and it was hard for him to get on wrestling shows. People didn't book him, and people didn't want him involved in wrestling whatsoever, and people would make fun of him, and people would say things, bad things about him behind his back, and it just, he never gave up, he never gave up on his dream, and he finally found that place, that platform to give his talents and show his talents off to the world. And I think that's, as everybody, especially in entertainment, but also in life too, we're just looking for that place in life where we are appreciated. And of course, with his, you know, his handicaps and everything else that he has, and the adversity of, you know, being the child of a single mother, you know, growing up with maybe two nickels to rub together. But I mean, like, he's gone through so much adversity and just been positive. And, you know, I want the whole world to see that there is some positivity in wrestling, and that's kind of what this project is about. And, you know, I think a good way to show his global appeal is to take him to another country and show that there are people in another country that are interested in meeting Freight Train, and there are promoters that want to book Freight Train. You know, just to show that he's just not something in a niche thing in a niche market and just a niche performer. He's a global wide phenomenon. So that's a project I've wanted to do for a while, and you know, the whole thing of getting him overseas, you know, was a financial burden to the project, but that's why we're turning to crowdfunding for that part of the documentary. But really, this show on July 20th, this Sunday, is about the local crowds that have seen him all, you know, for the last couple of years, their opportunity to possibly end up on the documentary, get interviewed for the documentary, and also through the show is for, you know, B-roll content and all kinds of things. So if you show up to the Elkin Armory this Sunday, July 20th, for $5 wrestling, bell time at 5 p.m., more than likely you're going to be on this very, very, very special documentary that I hope transcends wrestling itself.
Now, and I see that we've got a caller on the line, and caller, I'll get to you in just a moment. You know, Laura and I have had the pleasure of speaking to a lot of individuals that have been involved with $5 wrestling. You know, we've talked to Freight Train, we've talked to Caleb Conley, Terry Houston, Raider Rock, Jeff Hitman Hart, Eric Thompson, on and on and on. We've talked to several, and I can say in all the people that we've spoken to, and I actually met both you briefly at WrestleCon in New Orleans. You were setting up some video equipment, and I went over and talked to Freight Train. He was at the High Spots table. Of all the people that I've ever talked to involved in wrestling, And I've said this before on this show, whether or not you're a fan of the $5 wrestling product or not, you cannot doubt Freight Train's passion nor his integrity. He is one of, honestly, my hand to God, one of the most beautiful people that I've ever met in my life. And, you know, I just wanted to get that out there. Jake, how long have you guys actually been filming this documentary? How long has this been going on?
Well, I just started it like a couple weeks ago. Like I did a wonderful interview with Freight Train's mother. I also filmed an interview with the guy who was his wrestling trainer last week. I mean, it's kind of just something I've put together now. But the thing is, and the beauty of the fact of $5 wrestling, and I have kept just about everything that's out there with Freight Train in a high-quality format for me to put out and do a documentary. I've stockpiled stuff for years. There's probably some stuff you haven't seen, some promos you haven't seen yet. You know, there's outtakes, there's all kinds of things. I have, you know, the raw footage saved on external drive after external drive after external drive. So I have quite a bit of footage from the library already on hand. So I have quite a bit of B-roll footage, but like I said, I want to get some more stuff right now. But I think where the rubber is going to hit the road here is, you know, I think this Sunday is going to be a big part of, you know, what's in the documentary, but the fans and some of the wrestlers and stuff like that. And also too, I will be taking a trip to the Midwest where I will be talking to Colton Marty and also getting commentary on the show that we are filming, which will be a DVD download release as you know, as other previous releases before, but I'll also probably see Madman Pondo, you know, maybe see if I can't get in touch with Cliff Compton, and maybe even Rip Rogers, who's actually a fan of the product. Mm-hmm. And then also, too, I've got, you know, the filming over there in England. That's going to be a big thing for me to get as much footage as I possibly can while I'm over there, because that's going to be exactly what I'm going over there to get. And, you know, so I want to make sure that the fans that donate to the Kickstarter, that their money is well invested, and I get filmed about every second I possibly can and really take full advantage of that opportunity and use it on the documentary.
Okay. We're going to take this one call, if you don't mind, Jake, and then we're going to
no.
I know that Laura's got a couple questions for you. Hold on here. 704, you're on with Live from the Armory. 704? Hello? I hear a bunch of background noise, but I don't hear anybody talking, so we'll keep moving along because I know that your time's valuable, Jake. Laura, go ahead.
Well, if it was a 704 number and they mm-hmm. weren't smart enough to pick up, my money is on Raider Rock. I'm just saying. But
imagine that. Anyway, I don't even want to start on Raider Rock.
I know.
You know, Jake.
Nobody does.
You know, Jake. I've had no, because you can't finish. You know, I've had the pleasure of actually hanging out with you and Freight Train the night before WrestleCade, and saw the way that you guys interact with him and that you take care of him, and that, you know, you guys are really looking out for his best interest and looking out for him, because I know there's some issues where people are saying that, you know, you guys are exploiting him and things like that, and I just wanted to get that out there, that, believe me, folks, that's not the case. The guys at High Spots
no.
love Freight Train. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Well, I appreciate you making that clear, and yes, there are a lot of people, and I've thinking about it, addressing some of that in the documentary as well, some of the negative things, just to clear some of that. But I don't know if I want to make this project with Freight Train negative in any sense, but because I know how I feel about him, and the thing is too is like people think that we are laughing at him, but there's something inside of Freight Train where he knows he's being funny. When he says something and I laugh, he will come back to that thing and say it again. And he's cognizant of the fact that he made me laugh, and he knows laughter is a good thing. So he is trying to come back to that. I've seen him see me react to something, and I've seen him bring it up again. That's comedic timing. That's awareness of what's funny. You know, he understands that. He wants you to laugh. You know, he doesn't want you to feel bad, like, oh, I shouldn't be laughing at this guy. No, he wants you to laugh. And sometimes he does stuff to make you laugh. And, you know, he knows that sometimes he slips on the banana peel, or sometimes he's the guy that sees me slip on the banana peel. So, like, that's our dynamic. And I think people just... They know the perception of $5 wrestling is we make fun of bad wrestling, but that's not the case. That might have been the case on Volume 1, but once Freight Train showed up in Volume 2, he changed the whole dynamic of what $5 wrestling is and means and stands for.
And he really did, and I wanted to bring up, too, his appearance on Put Over the World when he was explaining to Caleb about a wormhole. That was just...
funny.
That was the best thing ever.
That's the thing we try and do is we try and put Freight Train in predicaments to make him the smartest person in the room. Because in some instances, he is. Because I've been in locker rooms with some people that just don't have any sense. But, like, you get Freight Train in a wrestling locker room sometimes, and you look over him, and you're like, you are the smartest person in this locker room right now. And, you know, I'll give him a look when people start acting a fool, and I'll give him a look, and he knows what I'm saying almost subconsciously, because he'll just nod his head, and he's like, I know. Yeah, because he sees me get frustrated with stuff, and, like, he knows it's exactly how I feel about it. And it's like, it's moments like that that make me realize that, like, you are the smartest person. And I think, you know, that's something about him that's very special. So.
Yes, Freight Train is a very, very special person. He's very warm. If you guys have never met him, he's always with a smile on his face, you know, glad to meet everybody. And Big Donnie told me this story when Freight Train was in a locker room with, I think it was Tom Pritchard and Robert Gibson and Big Donnie. And I didn't know this, but Freight Train does this Tony Atlas laugh. And he had everybody in the whole locker room just rolling with that Tony Atlas laugh.
Yeah, he's got when you get him in a big laugh, like he and almost sometimes he uses it like sometimes he'll try and play a heel character and he'll hit you with it and it'll floor you. And I think he, like I said, that's one of those things that he pulls out to make you laugh. Like he understands comedic timing in a sense. He knows what makes people laugh. I'm like, oh, this is a good time to do this. You know, like, you know, or he'll throw it in there and you'll react to it. And it'll, cause he'll do it. He'll do that laugh. And then on a dime, stop and turn around and be serious. But it comes out of nowhere. And it's hard. I don't even want to imitate it, but I've heard it on, I think it's on the $5 Roar release, because it's in the video where he talks about,
gotcha.
He goes, yeah, Dynamite do suck, people. It's just a weird cadence in the way he does it. And he knows he made people laugh. Like, he knew what he did. So.
Gosh, I love you.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, that's what he wants. He knows he's making people laugh because laughter is happiness. He wants people to be happy, at first and foremost.
Well, you can't be around Freight Train and not be happy and not smile. I have found that he has this infectious vibe.
That is very true, because he came into my life when I was not happy with my life, and I silently thank him every day for it, but I think this documentary is going to be a very public thank you to him for it. So that's, you know, kind of how hope is people feel.
That's so sweet.
Very cool.
Bob, did you ever get that caller back online? Or
No. We're good.
Okay. Now, you can tell Jeff Hartman, right. Don't worry. I'll talk to him tomorrow. I'll talk to him on Sunday. Or so.
If he's listening, he heard you.
If you can understand him.
I can't.
Yeah,
I can't.
It's either Red Rock or Jeff Hart. Either one of them. I'll see him on Sunday. Don't worry. I'll answer the question.
Okay.
I'm sure they'll have a million and two for you.
They always do.
Well, let me ask you two quick questions. George Coles, who is a listener, wants to know, when you made the Heroes of Burke County documentary, how long had you actually known, you know, Terry and Big Donnie and Little Donnie?
Well, Terry, he just kind of came with Big Donnie. Like, as I was doing 5 Mile Wrestling, Terry was a very late addition to you know, the Burke County Boys and everything like that. Little Donnie, to me, I knew him right away from the Heroes of Burke County thing, because him and J.C. Steele and, you know, that whole crew up there, every time they'd wrestle, it was a curtain sellout. Like we had to watch their matches, because Georgia do ring rattles for them all the time, and like, we have to see these guys' matches. So they're doing stuff that, like, I've never seen people do before. I don't know why they thought this was a good idea, but boy, I like it that they did it. It entertained me. So and little Donnie, he too is one of those people that the way he takes a move is just so unique. It's borderline impressive and just like hilarious at the same time. But he's another lovable individual as well, and I think the world of Little Donnie. And but Big Donnie took big exception to all of that, and he actually wasn't too much involved in the whole taping of Heroesburg County, and saw it and got very upset by it. It was like the very beginning of people saying, we're making fun of these people, when really, I mean, these guys are living their dream, and but what they're doing is entertaining, and it's a thin line of like, are we laughing at them or with them? But no, I think they enjoy the fact that we're just watching, and that was really the case with the Burke County boys. And I, during the very beginning of $5 Wrestling, me and Big Donnie had a lot of ups and downs, and we used to have hour long phone conversations where it was back and forth in each other's throats. But I'll say this and go on record right now: Big Donnie is a tremendous performer for the type of wrestling that I put out there, and he understands the product. He understands what the crowds want to see. Like, and a perfect example of that is the All Gimmicks Needed pay-per-view. You watch that match with Jeff Hart, and that's actually a good match. And the way he interacts, the way the people react, you know, that's something that you can't teach people, is improvisation. The crowd's doing this, I'm going to do this, and just, you know, he knows when to pull this out, but just he's good, and he's a true ambassador in the sense that he will go out and get bookings, and he's like, hey, can I borrow the $5 Wrestling title? Because I keep it pretty close to me for obvious reasons, but, you know, I always let him take it on the road, defend it, represent it, get the name out of the company. He's defended that thing in Alabama, Ohio, West Virginia, I think Tennessee, and these are all bookings that he's lined up himself. And he's used the brand of $5 Wrestling, and he's brought it into places where people may not necessarily know about it. But after they leave, I think they get a kind of sense of what's going on there. They check it out, and he's done nothing but good things for $5 Wrestling. And I can't say enough good things about Big Donnie, and I don't really say that too many times because people want to know more about Freight Train and some of the other people, but I can't say enough good things about Big Donnie and what he does for $5 Wrestling. And, you know, like I said, if nothing else, I go on record right now and let that be known.
Well, that's awesome. I think a lot of Big Donnie, too. He's been always been good to me at shows. And speaking of shows, you know, Bob's met you and seen you at WrestleCon, and I've seen you at $5, obviously, and I've also seen you at PWX, and I just want to go out there on record and say that you are missed very much at PWX. It just doesn't seem right for the Man Scout not to be on the card, and that I hope one day that you will come back. I just want to put that out there.
Well, I appreciate you saying so, but there's a lot of strings attached. There's a lot of things going on, but nothing I want to get to at this medium or this platform.
And I understand.
I do miss the fans because I never would I thought that I would be a fan favorite in people's eyes, and the PWX crowd made me feel that way, and felt wanted when I felt like I wasn't wanted and nobody cared. So PWX and Freight Train helped me through a lot of rough times in my life, and for me not to be there right now deeply bothers me, and sometimes it, you know, it makes me think about it a lot more than I should. So
I totally understand that. I totally understand that.
So the upcoming event, $5 Wrestling, July the 20th at the Elkin National Guard Armory. That is 1775 North Bridge Street, Elkin, North Carolina. Bell time is 5 o'clock. The doors will open at 4:30. Folks, you can go out and see all the stars of $5 Wrestling. Jake Manning will be there. Filming the documentary, parts for the documentary for Freight Train. Jake, do you want to go on and give out the link for the Kickstarter for Freight Train's trip to England?
It's probably something like crazy, like, because there's a short link. It's like KC, whatever. But if you just go to highspots.com, if you happen to buy a DVD or two while you're there, go ahead. I'm not going to default you for that. But we've got a lot of good stuff up there right now. But if you just go to highspots.com, there's a wonderful banner ad with Freight Train's big old smiling face on it. You just click on it, and it'll take you right to Kickstarter, and you can donate. So that's probably the easiest way to go do that. Because, like I said, I think Kickstarter is like /something24.
Right.
Just go to highspots.com. And like I said, if you buy a DVD, great. You're winning the game. And there's a big banner ad, and you can click on it and donate, and we can go from there.
Now, if Freight Train gets over to England, we've both, Laura and I have debated this back and forth. and somehow or another he gets knighted, we can call him Sir Freight Train.
We may have to have our own little ceremony at some point in time. Maybe we can do something kind of unofficial or honorary or something to the effect that we can do. And maybe at least get a crown on him while we're over there. So
sounds good.
I love that idea.
Jake, if people want to find you on social media, how can they do that? What is your Twitter address?
I am very responsive on Twitter, if you replies or direct messages or whatever, and I do get back to you. My handle is @ManScoutManning. It also has a link to my Facebook page. I usually kind of add everybody if they have enough, you know, friends and stuff like that, because I do use Facebook as a tool to, like, hey, if you know where I'm at a show and you're like, hey, can you bring these DVDs or, hey, can you bring these knee pads? You know, please, you know, I usually try to accept as many people as I can on my Facebook, but the preferred social media for me and the one that updates the most is Twitter, and it is, once again, @ManScoutManning. Also, make sure you check out the High Spots YouTube page. I'm very active on there with Dad, You Don't Work, You Wrestle. I do make evil guest appearances on Jane and Caleb Put Over the World, and I do pop up from time to time sitting next to probably the most electrifying man in High Spots YouTube history, the man known as Freight Train.
Yes, sir. Jake, one last thing we could get from you. We ask this of all of our show guests. If you could record a small bump for us to say something like, this is Jake Manning, you're listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Radio Show, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Okay, let's see if I get it right in one take. Listen up, all you weeblows. You are listening to Live at Armory Radio Show. So you better keep listening, or else I'll find out. And that's a promise. Scouts honor.
That works for us. Jake, that works
awesome.
For us. We really appreciate your time tonight, Jake.
Oh, appreciate you getting me on and giving me an opportunity to promote the Kickstarter and the wrestling shows coming up this Sunday.
Thank you very much for coming on tonight, Jake.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
And there goes Jake Manning. Very cool, very cool. So remember, folks, July the 20th, $5 wrestling at the Elkin National Guard Armory, Elkin, North Carolina. You can go out and see all the stars of $5 wrestling. So, very, very cool. Nice to have Jake on. Appreciate his time.
Jake is a really great guy. He is so hardworking. If you're at a wrestling show and he's there, 9 times out of 10, he's put that ring up. He's taken that ring down. He's putting a show together. He works hard. Don't get it twisted, folks. Jake Manning works his butt off and is may look busy at times, but is so approachable and talks with fans and even took a picture with me like 2 years ago before $5 Wrestling exploded into the phenomenon it is today. So, yeah, Jake is, I can't say enough great things about Jake Manning.
I agree 100%. And I'll tell you what, if you want to go on and read down some indie events, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to get our next guest on the air.
Woohoo! Okay, there is an AIWF show in Mountery, North Carolina this upcoming Saturday. I'm going to do my best to get there because it's got one of my favorite people on the card, Cameron Cade. Remember, it's Cade's Kingdom. We just live in it. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be the Mount Airy National Guard Armory. We're going to have Kevin Phoenix there. Like I said, Cameron's coming back. James Anthony, the Star City Rollers from Roanoke, will defend the AIWF Tag Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Championship. The Trust will be in action. The CEO of Keeping It Gangsta will be there. T.C. Washington, Sergeant Stryker, Kid Courageous, Jacob Ryan, Kyle Styles, and many more. If you want to go, tickets are just $6. They're first come, first serve. Last time I went, it was the Crazy Eights, the Bravados, and Cameron Cade were there. Phenomenal wrestling. Cameron Cade will be there this time, not the Bravados, but can't beat $6. Go out to the Mount Airy National Guard Armory and support AIWF Mid-Atlantic Wrestling. And also, LXW, the League of Extraordinary Wrestlers, presents Invasion of the Ubermenschen, at the YBW Arena in Jasper, Tennessee. That's on 204 Potter Street, Saturday, July 26th, which is not this week, but next week. Bell time is 7 o'clock. All tickets are $8. Can't beat that either, folks. We'll have a lot of people on there. If you want more information about that, you can go to www.lxwwrestling.com. You can also watch it on iPay-per-view. Here we've got the Uber Menschen versus Sickness. Don't speak German, folks. Sorry. Six-man tag team, barbed wire tables, barbed wire doors, light two bundles of joy deathmatch. That's a mouthful. The LXW Undisputed Champion of the Intergalactic Empire.
Do what?
Three times fast. The LXW Undisputed Champion of the Intergalactic Empire.
Okie dokie.
I ain't making this shit up.
You're not. I know you're not.
So would you like me to continue, or do you have our next guest on the phone?
Continue on. Can you finish up with what you were saying?
Okay. John Rare is the champion. This is kind of – I've copied this off their webpage, so I'm a little – oh, okay. That's who Uber Menschen is made up of. John Rare, Freak Show, and Acid. They're going to take on the Sickness, which consists of Spider Boudreaux, Suicidal Beast Bryant Woods, and Hardcore Terry Houston.
Okay.
It's going to get real up in here, folks. Texas Death fans bring the weapons match. My good buddy Big Donnie's going to take on Earl Cooter.
Oh, boy.
Our good friend Earl.
The coot rules the roost.
Rules the roost. Barefoot thumbtacks and Legos and carpet strip House of Pain. Weed Whacker Death Match. I guess they wanted to make sure they got all that in there. Colt 45 versus Maniac Mike Mondo. I've got some others, so if we want to start talking to Fireball, we can come back to this. But
okay.
That's what's going down in Jasper, Tennessee.
Oh boy! Speaking of hardcore death matches and all that other good business, joining us on the phone, as promised, as booked, as billed, fresh off of his Grindhouse show and fresh off of the XWW show, we'd like to welcome Justin Fireball to the show. Justin, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty groovy, you know, just drinking a margarita, listening to the birds sing, watching the grass grow, just chilling.
I hear you. We certainly appreciate you being with us tonight.
It's no big deal. Whatever.
On the phone with me is Laura. Laura, you know Justin. Justin, you know Laura.
Yes, I do know Justin.
It depends on how you define no.
How about by acquaintance? How about that?
How about that, Fireball?
We can work with that.
Folks, our studio number is 213-816-1605. Justin, I know you've wrestled for Milestone, and I know you've wrestled for XWW. Can you tell me some of the other promotions that you've been involved with?
Let's see. Yeah, I did a $5 show once for Jake. I used to wrestle for ROD. I've done, what's that called? Is it AIWF? I've done I can't really remember. I've done like a lot of stuff, but mostly it's been Milestone and XWW because I consider those my homes. You know,
right.
Milestone came first, and then XWW took me in and treated me, you know, really well, really great, you know. So yeah,
okay.
That's nothing too fancy.
Okay. All right. Well, it seems to me that deathmatch wrestling seems to be as popular as it's ever been, in several promotions. Why do you think that is? Why are people still drawn to deathmatch wrestling, even though we may have seen, you know, some of the most bizarre, crazy, insane shit that there is to do? Why do you think people are still attracted to it?
I think the reason is because despite the the big turnout numbers they have, I would say almost every show that you go to or has some kind of form of death match has almost a whole new fan base that's never seen that before. Because you have a lot of fans who come in who grew up watching, WWE or WCW. And then they got, a little bit older, like high school years, and they became too cool for wrestling. And then when you get back in your 20s, you don't really care what anybody thinks, so you start checking out other stuff, and then you hear about stuff like, the Big Japan Wrestling and CCW and IWA Mid-South. And so you start seeing that stuff, and you see stuff you've never seen before. And also, I think the reason is because deep down, humans are just mean and violent by nature. So there's a part of us just wants to see somebody get their head cracked open. That's my opinion.
Kind of like the proverbial, car accident, don't want to look but can't look away.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that there will always be this level of support for deathmatch wrestling? I mean, I guess what I mean by that is that a lot of the stars that were innovative in that genre of wrestling have started to get a little bit older. Do you feel like the torch is being passed on to guys like yourself and Terry and some others that are involved with it to keep carrying it on?
Oh, that's big words that you say, torch be passed on. I don't even know if I even want that torch. Sadly, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that it'll go on. It'll stay underground, which like it is now. But, unfortunately, everything changes. That's just a part of life, no matter what aspect you're looking at. Because if you take wrestling from the 80s, it's totally different than it was in the 90s. If you take it from the 90s, it's totally different than it was in the 2000s. And if you take wrestling from, say, like the 40s and 50s, it's not even the same ball game. It's,
right.
Things just change. And then who knows what's next? I remember when I was younger and really big into wrestling, the big thing was the luchadors. That was like the top of the line stuff you wanted to see. It was either luchadors or you wanted to see, 6'7", just bodybuilders do slamming matches. And then that, in today's time, is nowhere near what's on TV now as far as popular. So I guess to answer your question, I think it'll always be there because, there was a time when ECW was like the coolest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ECW will always live on as some kind of legacy. But sadly, I hate to say it, but there will come a time when Necro Butcher's going to die, Masada's going to die, Cherry Houston's going to die, and I'll die, and Eric will just die. And like everything else, just slowly get forgotten about. Like, for example, you take Frank Gotch, George Hackensmith, Gorgeous George, all those guys that pretty much invented what pro wrestling is today. Very few people, as far as mark-wise, fan base-wise, have any idea who those cats are. So everything comes, everything goes. It's just part of life.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm tweeting. Sorry about that.
I know you're tweeting. There's an obligatory pause.
Sorry about that. It's me. Fireball, what was the inspiration behind the Grindhouse shows, and will there be another?
There will be another, and as long as I'm still able to work and make money to pay for them, there'll be many more. And as long as Tremont still likes me. As long as we don't piss each other off and want to kill each other, because that does seem to happen in business aspects over time. People tend to fall out. But, what was the inspiration behind it? Growing up, or still to this day, I was a movie buff. And I just love grindhouse movies. I love exploitation films. I love the fact that you got, just girls showing their tits and ass, getting beat up for no reason, guys killing each other in the most violent way, stupid little joke puns, movies kind of like, surf Nazis or, werewolves on wheels, or even to the modern day with the machete films being so popular, or, with Quentin Tarantino putting out Death Proof and Robert Rodriguez doing Planet Terror. I've always loved those kind of films. The cheesier, the better. In fact, I'm not sure if this counts as a grindhouse film, but my actually entrance music that I used for the Grindhouse shows is from a film called The Howling Part 2 your sister is a werewolf. I doubt anybody catches on to that, maybe like three people. But that's what I come out to. But what made me want to do it was I love pro wrestling. But unfortunately in wrestling, you come across a lot of people that you just can't stand, like people that you just want to punch in the face as hard as you can and walk away. So I thought, you know, in a lot of wrestling shows, and I'm not mocking anybody, I'm not spitting on tradition, I respect it and all that stuff, but sometimes things are just too serious, too boring, and too bogged down. And I understand that's the old way, and I'm not knocking that, but I thought, wouldn't it be cool if there was a show that was put on where it was just fun, no matter what kind of match it was, whether it was the worst two guys that had never been in a ring match, or you had two good guys going at it, you had bands playing, because who does not love music? I'm a big heavy metal fan myself, and I love punk music and metal. And who doesn't like girls? I mean, who does not like girls? I mean, even gays like girls. So, I mean, girls would go awesome. So why not put girls together? Why not put bands together? Why not put wrestling together? Why not put it in a place where they serve booze and everybody just has a damn good time? And don't even make it expensive. Because for what I charge for my shows is I could easily probably charge $25 to get away with it. But I don't see the point in doing that because, well, it's $25. People, most people only make minimum wage. So even me charging $12, I feel bad about. But I have to make some kind of profit. I have to keep the venue happy. I have to be able to pay the people that I can't afford to pay. So there's a lot that goes into it. But the main answer is just to have fun. You know, have that fun. You know, have a match where you can wrestle your best friend. Go out there. There's no good guy. There's no bad guy unless you want to be a good guy or a bad guy. You go out there. You wrestle. Then when you get done, you go have a beer. And you can come out and watch the next match wrestle. I mean, because let's face it, if you wrestle in, say, the first, second match, or even the main event, you missed almost the whole damn show. In most wrestling shows. And usually Zayn Ryder gets stuck in the middle. So who does not want to watch Zayn wrestle? So no, why not go have your match, go change clothes if you want to, or come out naked, I care less. Go get you a beer and be out there in time to watch, you know, Zayn wrestle, or to watch me wrestle, or to watch Eric Sleaze wrestle, or to watch Big Country wrestle, or to watch whoever's out there. I mean, just, you know, why not have that fun? Because deep down, if you're a wrestler, you're also still a fan. You get to realize that. And plus, like the party.
True.
He doesn't like the party.
Well, did you, I thought you, and maybe I dreamed this up, did you have a dream or something about a grindhouse show? Did someone come to you in a dream and say, put on a wrestling show?
Well, when I was a kid, when I was like, probably like 6 years old, I always dreamed about doing like this. Of course, in my dream, it was a lot more fancier, a lot more money, a lot more bigger names, you know. But I always had this dream of, like, doing something really awesome and cool, which everybody does. I think everybody has that dream. Now, whether you act on it or not is up to you. You know, I was dumb enough to act on mine. You know, I took a chance. I invested a lot of money in that first show. Didn't know how it was going to turn out. My biggest fear was, what if I get all these girls here, I got all these bands here, I got all these wrestlers here, and what if nobody shows up? That was my biggest fear. Luckily, it did great. I mean, everybody that was there did great, you know. But yes, I had a dream about it when I was a kid, many years ago. Totally different scenario, but that's pretty much the gist of it, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, then I didn't dream that up myself.
No, you was probably just
dreaming. Where did your luck? Yeah, of course, I always dream of you, Fireball.
Everybody does. What, is it getting too wet around here? Because, I mean, me,
oh,
you know, me, Sleaze, and they come
on.
Over and we can take care of this.
I'll keep that in mind, Fireball. Oh,
camera, we can't, like, please bring the camera. We can turn a profit on this.
Oh my God! I think I'm blushing on the radio.
Are you blushing? You got a mouth full, right? You got a mouth full, right? Do you need a smoke break to calm your nerves down? Is that what you need?
No. I think I'm okay. I was wanting to talk about Yoo-Hoo. You know, good, clean, fun Yoo-Hoo.
Yes, what about you?
Where
I love you. It's delicious.
It where did that come from? Where did your love of Yuhu come from?
Okay. Like most people, I was 5 years old once. Yeah, like most people. Unfortunately, I never really grew up. I'm still pretty much the same dude I was when I was five. The only difference is, you know, my dick's a little bit bigger, my face is a little hairier, I'm a little fatter and a little bald. But I just never really grew up. I'm still 5 years old, pretty much. I love you, and when I was a kid, my family's pretty poor. I came from a broken family. Me and my brother, we were dirt poor. You know, my dad did the best he could with what he had. He used to work, like, all freaking day. Like, he would drive, like, 300 miles, both, you know, combined, just to work, and so we could have something. So we didn't have, like, a lot of money and stuff growing up. But when we did have money, we would walk up to the store, and, of course, I love you. Now, this is going to sound nasty. When my big thing I used to do was I would buy a Yoo-Hoo and some sardines. And I was like a fat kid and nasty. And that sounds really nasty, and looking back, it is pretty nasty. But I've always loved Yoo-Hoo. And I'm going to give everybody a little tip. Buy a Yoo-Hoo can, you know, the cans of Yoo-Hoo. Put it in the freezer for like 40 minutes. Take it out, shake it up. It has these little like frost ice chunks in it. It is like drinking the nectar of the gods.
Really?
Yes. See, we stop.
I will have to do that.
I would tell you right now, it will be yummy in your tummy.
Yummy in my tummy. Well, I'll have to do that. I'm not a big fan of Yoo-Hoo, but I think I'll have to try that.
Try it.
I want to talk to you about something that was happening during Snowmageddon. I turn on, you know, go to my Facebook page, and what do I see? All these wrestlers in the snow, naked.
I know nothing about that. Me, as a person, every time it snows, I've always done that, even back in the MySpace days, so, you know, like 2004, 2005 days. I did it because it was fun. You know, I don't mind showing up what I got because I got a little bit to work with. It ain't much. You know, it ain't porn star status, but it gets the job done. I never had a girl complain except for the first girl I was ever with because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. You know, but anyway, you know, I used to go for fun. I used to party a lot. I still party, but I used to party a lot back then, like a lot. And I just always thought it was kind of for, you know, shits and giggles. I would run in there, jump in the snow naked, and everybody would laugh, and my dick would shrivel up, and everybody would laugh even more. And now as far as wrestlers doing it, I guess this year it just turned to be a cool thing to do. I ain't going to say that I invented it, because I stole the idea from my uncle. My uncle used to get drunk, run out in the snow naked. I guess it's a cool thing to do. I mean, I will tell you this. If you ever do it, it does feel like you're releasing this, I don't want to sound all spiritual or anything, but it sounds like you're releasing this energy, and it's kind of like a high. I guess it's a high, and I guess that's why everybody does it. That, and who doesn't want to have, like, you know, 16,000 likes on Facebook?
This is true. I'm sure you had a ton.
I did. Actually, I got reported for that. Somebody reported my photo, like two of them. So I don't know who it was, but, you know, I guess sometimes when you get the big package, you get reported. I don't know.
Haters. That's what it is.
Haters.
Haters, yep. Let's talk about how the match at Ink Fest went for you the second day of Ink Fest, the day I was there. The hardcore... the death match with Terry Houston and Colt 45.
What do you want? Tell me what you want to know.
Well, you know, you lost the belt, and you know, you can't say that Terry cheated because there were no rules, so you can't really cheat if there's no rules. So he duct taped you to the to the ring post, but you did something with the bamboo pole that you had, or the kendo stick that you had when he was up on the top rope. So if you'll elaborate on that.
You talking about where I pretty much sodomized Terry?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they call him Hardcore Terry Houston. And when I was growing up, when I heard hardcore, it meant porn. And Terry take me, you know, he'd take me to the turnbuckle, to the outside of the ring. I thought that was kind of kinky. So I said, hey, Terry come here. Maybe Terry come to fight, but he might come to fuck. I don't know what Terry's here doing. But you know what? I'm taking this. I'm bleeding. Colt's bleeding. Terry's bleeding. Terry's standing on top of me. I got a stick in my hand. Why not put it in his ass? That's what came to my mind. It wasn't much I could do. It was only like one free arm. But I did what I could.
That's funny.
And I didn't lose the belt. I let Terry hold it for a while. That's all.
Oh, so he's just keeping it warm for you.
Yeah, Terry's keeping it warm for me. I'm letting Terry feel cool for a little while. Even though Terry is not knocking Terry, even though Terry Houston's walking around like damn hardcore Ultimate Dragon on them damn belts he's got.
Justin, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah. Talking about Terry Houston and Colt 45 and some others and death, and we've talked to other folks that are involved with deathmatch wrestling. Is there a bar for you on what you'll do and won't do in a death match?
Yes, there is. Funny you mention that. There's a joke that goes on in the locker room. You know, I was the hardcore champion. Little unknown fact about me, I hate hardcore wrestling. I hate it. I despise it. It sucks. Not just saying that I'm taking away anything from anybody, but it sucks and takes a toll on your body. So any way I can, I know nobody's going to believe me saying this, but if anybody that's a wrestler who's ever like been backstage has heard me say, please, no barbed wire, please, no light juice, please, no thumbtacks. Can't we just have like a regular match? And but is there a bar? I would say my bar is locking up. I don't even like locking up. But unfortunately, when you come through that curtain, you get this rush. And the more people is there, the bigger rush you get.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you whore yourself out, so to say.
Right.
you know, what starts off as I ain't taking one bump on anything, turns in I'm being fucking hung from the damn bleachers. And then there I am there 2 hours later backstage saying, what the hell just happened?
Right.
Please tell me somebody videotaped it. Yeah, that's what happens pretty much.
Now, you, talking with like Colt 45 and, you know, and Terry, and they've had some words for, do younger guys come up to you that are trying to make a name for themselves in deathmatch wrestling or hardcore wrestling? Do you have any words of advice for them other than what you've told us, like what you say in the locker room? Has anybody legitimately come up to you and said, you know, what should I do in this situation or what shouldn't I do?
Yikes. I don't think anybody's ever asked me anything like that because, to be honest with you, I've only been wrestling about 2.5 plus 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somehow I got a lot of fame. I'm trying to say I'm all big star studded, but somehow people tend to like me. As a matter of fact, there's a guy called D. Tommy Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you heard of him. You probably have.
Yeah, he's former show guest.
Yes. I think he put me over once. So, Tommy, I'm putting you over now.
Yep.
Me and the Tommy Thomas, the Tommy, that's hard to say, the Tommy Thomas, yeah. We started roughly about the same time. We never really worked for the same company at the same time. We used to just cross paths. Like, he was doing XWW stuff and doing commentary for them. I was
right.
A bitch ring boy for PWX. I used to do whatever I could to put the ring up just so I could get the shows for free.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started wrestling at Milestone and doing little stuff here and there, and you know, me and Tommy always cross paths because we're both in the Shaw area.
Right.
And Tommy used to always say he wanted to be like me, and I used to always say I wanted to be like Tommy. You know, so it was kind of like we were both kind of like admiring the other one. Even though we were doing totally two different things, we just both always admired each other. That's why whenever the first person I contacted once I got my idea for the Grindhouse show, the very first one, the first person I called and wanted to book was D. Tommy Thomas.
So I said,
if I can't work with him, I don't even want to do shows. That was the first person I called and booked. And then number two was Country, because Country's my boy. And then number three was Zane, because it's just so hard to get in touch with Zane, because Zane's so cool and popular. But, the first person I wanted to book was D. Tommy Thomas. What was the question? What was I talking about? I forgot.
We were just talking about guys coming up to you asking about words of advice in deathmatch wrestling.
Nobody's ever asked for no advice. People always, nobody's ever asked for no advice. People ask me, what about doing the situation? And my answer is run. Run fast, run hard, run long.
Yeah. Turn and run.
Just run.
What do you
now,
find?
Now, people have asked me about wrestling Necro Butcher. Cause I've wrestled him twice. And, you know, me and Necro are good friends, which is really weird for me because I grew up watching that guy. But we had a match together back in November at Death to the Queen, which Terry Houston won the whole tournament. Congratulations to Terry. And me and Nick just hit it off. We went to the party. We stayed up all night long. Me, him, and Johnny Smalls. We stayed up all night long just drinking and enjoying nature, if you catch my drift. just having a good time. A funny story. Somebody left a bottle of wine at the party, and everybody cleared out. There was half a bottle of wine there. And me, Necro, and Johnny Smalls, we're passing around and we're sharing this big bottle of wine. Matter of fact, I still have the bottle in my house sitting on the mantle. Anyway, we're sharing this bottle of wine, passing around. And as it gets close to the bottom, it starts tasting really funny. But, you know, we're like, fuck it, we'll keep drinking. Well, we get done with the bottle, like, Necro says, this tastes kind of bitter and there's stuff floating around my mouth now. So Johnny Smalls thinks it looks in there. It turns out the wine bottle is actually the ashtray for the night. Ashes all night.
The perils of after show wrestling parties.
Oh my god, that's gross.
I can tell you about it at the party. You only hear about it at the party. this past Friday night, there was an after party.
Yeah.
Small little get together. I was there. And anybody came to the Grindhouse show last Friday night, it was titled Fireball's Grindhouse Blood Red Summer. And unfortunately, it lived up to its name. Somewhere during the match, I got a big gash knocked in the back of my head. Don't know how it happened. Don't know when it happened. But I was bleeding for almost 4 hours straight, nonstop, before I decided to take a shower. Because I'm drinking beers, eating tacos, hanging out with people. Me and Miss Grindhouse were together, you know, trying to get my ding-a-ling wet. So I'm like, you know what, guys? I'm going to go upstairs and take a shower. I go up there, take a shower. I start getting woozy, and I pass out. They have to call 911. I'm in the bathtub, butt naked, blood everywhere. People standing around scared. My friend Tommy, not the Tommy Thomas, another guy named Tommy, apparently, he's kind of squeamish of blood, but he sat there and held this rag over my head until EMS got there. In fact, my profile picture is a picture of the EMS worker on Facebook. Is the EMS
was
worker
naked?
Like, washed the blood out of my hair while I'm sitting in the shower naked.
Yep.
Because they wanted me to go to the hospital, and I wasn't going. I was like, either you fix me here or I'm going to die here. Because I know as soon as you step foot in that ambulance, it's like $1,000 off the bat.
Right.
I guess I just really died for $1,000. But, yeah, so that was a fun after party, I guess. And then I'd like to thank, you know, Miss Grindhouse and then Ariel. She stayed with me all night through the night. You know, my friend Tommy stayed with me all night through the night. And then my dumb ass gets up Saturday morning, goes to Concord and does Ink Fest. And, you know, and Terry Houston doesn't take it easy. Busts his fucking light tubes over my back, likes me with a trash can. Suplexes me on thumbtacks. And here's the messed up part. There's this chick that I'm digging on as well. Stays up towards Asheville. I was going to go hang out with her after the show. You know, spend the night with her, hang out with her, all that stuff. She's a cool chick. She made me promise before the weekend even started that I wouldn't get hurt. Because she just can't take it. She can't take the blood and anything like that. So I kind of fibbed about what I did for the weekend until I got there. And then when I got there, she just, you know, kind of, like, went to pieces. But she took care of me. She brushed a lot of the blood out of my hair, took care of me, cooked me breakfast, cooked me dinner, took me out for drinks. So I had a pretty good weekend last weekend, even though I did 3 matches. It was pretty good. So.
There you go. What events do you got coming up, Justin?
Fireball's Grunt House is going to be September 13th. I'm already working on that. I'm actually doing the show next Saturday in Tennessee, the one I was talking about earlier.
Your debut there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm debuting that. I'm doing that. And that's really it. That's a milestone in August. I know I got that. But
okay.
That's really all I have that I have, like, set in stone booked. But now that always changes because towards the end, like, towards Thursday night, so I'm getting stuff from promoters when they come up there. But this weekend, I'm not doing nothing. I am not doing nothing wrestling related. I'm coming home Friday, cutting my grass. Saturday night, I'm going to Tremont Music Hall, watching Hank Williams' third play, drink some beers. Sunday, I'm probably going to sit at home, watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia all day. This weekend, I'm doing nothing wrestling related, unless it's in the bedroom.
There you go. Now, if folks want to get a hold of you on social media, Justin, how they do that?
I have a Twitter, but I've never hardly ever get on it. There's also Team Fireball Facebook, fan page, and then there's Fireball's Grindhouse page, which is not a good way to get in touch with me because I run it, but I have like several people who run that for me as well. One of them is Miss Grindhouse, Relentlessly Controversy, or whatever she calls her stuff nowadays. I just call her Rail. Just call her Rail.
Right.
But the best way to get in touch with me, and I'll try my best to get back at you, I try really hard, is just Justin Fireball on Facebook. That's where you find me at.
Okay. Before we let you go, Justin, we asked all of our guests to do this. Would you mind recording a bump for us to say something like, this is Justin Fireball, you're listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Show?
Sure, I can try. I might fuck it up, but I'll try.
You can't fuck it up any worse than what Cliff Compton did.
you mean say, this is Justin Fireball. What's next for it?
You're listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Show.
Okay, I'll try.
Okay.
Can we go now?
Go whenever you're ready.
All right. Let me clear my throat. Okay, I'm ready. What's poppin'? This is Justin Fireball. You listen live from the Armory Wrestling Show. Keep it real, bitches.
Just, thank you very much for your time. Again. We appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, boss. Thank you.
All right, adios.
Thanks, Fireball.
No problem, my hon.
And there goes Justin. Very cool to have Justin on. Very cool.
He has a vibe about him when you meet him. It's very hard to explain. But there's just something about him that draws people to him. And it, like I said, it's hard to explain. It's hard to put my finger on what exactly it is, but he's a trip.
Yeah, he seems to be a likable guy. We certainly wish him the best of luck with the Grindhouse shows. A lot of people enjoy him. Some people don't. It's not for everybody, but, he has an envisionment. He has an envisionment of what he wants to do. He's the creative man behind of it. If you like it, go. If you don't go. It's kind of like that. So,
yeah.
Lord,
exactly.
You want to go on and pick up where you left off at, and I'm going to take another break and get another guest on the phone.
Finally.
Okay.
Okay. wow. Talking about the League of Extraordinary Wrestlers pay-per-view on the 26th, continuing that, Gusset Plates Deathmatch, Mike Effin' Levy versus the Rabid Pitbull Matt Raby, Bizarro Live Tag Team Collision, the Gamma Cheddaration Fueled Monster, Quesazilla, I don't make this up, folks, and his partner, Duke Beefhammer, that sounds like a porn name, just saying, from LOSER, the Legion of Super Evil Reborn, El Manos and Stretcher the Pooh. I'm not making this up, folks. There's going to be a bra and panties match with the lovely Miss Alora. I think I need to look into copyright and gimmick infringement on that one. Versus the Sin City Sweetie, Aria Ambrose. There's a fatal four-way Texas Tornado rules for the LXW Extraordinary title with Red Solo Cup. If you haven't seen him wrestle, it's pretty good. Versus megastar Memphis Monroe. I'm friends with him on Facebook. Hey, Memphis. Versus Porkchop Cash Jr., one of the BCB, and Little Donnie. I think maybe a couple more matches on here. Actually, there's a lot.
Oh, and I got a message
galore.
I got a message in for you while I was on the phone making a phone call.
From?
Jeff the Hitman Hart says hi.
Oh, well, hey, Jeff. That's very sweet of you to say hey to me.
Yeah. He wanted to say hi, Laura. Just to Laura.
That's
Laura.
That's because Jeff likes me. Jeff likes me.
I know. Go ahead. Where were you?
That's a good question. Where was I? there's a Pans Galore Money in the Bank Rumble. $5 Superstar Freight Train. Choo-choo. Gentlemen, we just mentioned Mr. Jeff the Hitman Hart, Cornbread, Cowboy Jimmy, Super Brown, El Polo Diablo. That's the devil chicken, in case you were wondering. Johnny Eight Ball, Extreme Franchise, Eric Michaels, Bubba Boudreaux, Black America, Dynamite, and El Star. And I'm not even done with the card yet, Bob. I've still got three matches. Let me just do this real quick. Rematch from Thunder Mania. Loser must buy the winner supper of his choosing. Hollywood Kyle Bakula versus Derek Bischoff and the kosher chef Andrew Goldstein. Major Havoc versus Professor Dr. Heinrich von Lucher's newest monster. I'm not making this up. And plus, Justin Fireball will make his debut. So you guys get out and, if you're going to be in the Tennessee area, go out and see that. If not, you can watch it on iPay-per-view, same place you watch Evolve, and FIP and Dragon Gate.
Very good. Very good. All right, folks. As promised, I'm going to bring on right now onto the show, Jackson James is joining us.
Woohoo!
Hold on here a second. Folks, bear with me here just a moment. I'm having a little bit of technical difficulty. I talked to Laura about this before we went on the air. There have been several upgrades happening to my area through our internet, and I am just waiting for my DSL light to kick back on. This is crazy. So I think if Jackson
you
can hear
DSL?
Me. Yeah, it's a long story. I live in a remote area, Laura. So hold on here a second. Give me just one moment. Go on and continue on, Laura, for just a moment.
Okay. That's a good question. Where should I hold on, folks? Llama. We did want to announce that the PWX event scheduled for July 27th has been postponed due to the venue's renovations are not complete. There will be shows in August, and you can look for updates at www.pwxprowrestling.com. I, for one, am very sad to hear this news because I was wanting to get my PWX fix on in the month of July because I love PWX, but I shall get it on in August. There's the Ring of Honor Summer Heat Tour continues Friday, July 18th in the Sonic Center in Cincinnati, Ohio with a 7:30 bell time. Kevin Steen's farewell match number 2, where he takes on Silas Young, it will be a no DQ match. Also scheduled to appear is my friend and yours, Mr. Michael Unbreakable Elgin, the new Ring of Honor champion, Roderick Strong, Cedric Alexander, Adam Page, ACH, Caprice Coleman, Adam Cole, the Briscoes, and many more. Then on Saturday night, July 19th, I just lost my papers. Sure did. Ford Community and Performing Arts Center in Dearborn, Michigan, 7:30 bell time. K Kevin Steen's final Ring of Honor match will be Steen versus the King of Old School, Steve Corino. I'm very sad that I will not be able to attend that in Dearborn. Love me some Kevin Steen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you good?
I'm still here. And if Jackson, if you can hear me, just bear with me a moment. I'm having a problem with the software with Blog Talk Radio. So I think that Jackson is still on hold. If you can just bear with me for a moment, Jackson, I'm trying to get this resolved. So just carry on, Laura. I'm still on the line, but every now and then, this is the perils of live podcasting, is that every now and then we get a snafu with Blog Talk Radio. I thought it was my internet, and it's not. It's Blog Talk Radio. So, Jackson, if you can hear me, please just hold on. Bear with me for a moment while I try to get this back up and going. Carry on, Laura.
Okay, though. Also on the card is going to be Matt Taven, Kazarian, and Daniels. We love them. Jay Lethal, Cedric Alexander, and just so many to list, too many to talk about. You can find all that information at www.rohwrestling.com. AAW Wrestling presents Scars and Stripes Friday, July 18th, 115 West Bourbon Street Club at Marionette Park, Illinois, 7:45 bell time. Scheduled to appear, Heidi Lovelace, Eddie Kingston, Zero Gravity, Eric Cannon, Shane Hollister, Chris Sabin, and many more. You can find all that information at www.aawrestling.com. Trans-South Wrestling presents Legends of the Ring, Saturday, July 19th, downtown Gaffney, South Carolina, 5 p.m. bell time. Scheduled to appear. This is going to be a great card, folks. The Rock and Roll Express, Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, Dr. Tom Pritchard, WWE Hall of Famer Jake Roberts, WCW star Stro, Maestro, y'all know Stro, our good friend Amanda Rodriguez, previous guest on the show, George South. If you guys don't love George South, there's something wrong with you, and many more. SWA Wrestling presents Hallowed Ground, Saturday, July 19th at the Forest City National Guard Armory. Now, folks, we had Rob Killjoy and James Drake on last week, and this is going to be a barn burner. It really is. You guys have got to get out to Spindle to see this. As I said, Rob Killjoy is on the card. He's defending against James Drake. Six is going to be there. Big Country, ADD, Southern Anarchy, and many more. You can find them on Facebook, SWA Wrestling.
Well, I shouldn't have made fun at the beginning of the program about for those with the benefit of smartphone technology and free Wi-Fi at McDonald's, because it always comes back and bites me in the ass. Folks, without any further ado, as promised, joining us on the phone right now is Jackson James. Jackson, I apologize for the hiccup. How are you tonight, sir?
All right, man. How are you?
We're doing good. We're doing good. Like I said, sometimes this is the perils of doing live podcasting. I certainly apologize for making you wait, and I know that your time is very valuable. We appreciate you being with us. And on the phone with us is the other co-host, Laura. Laura, say hello to Jackson, so on and so forth.
Hey, Jackson.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm all right. Just I'm actually late in bed. I've been listening. I tuned in probably about 7:30, I guess, maybe a little before. I listened to the Man Scout and listened to Justin Fireball. You guys interviewed them. So I've just been sitting here listening to you guys talk a good bit and trying to prepare myself, I guess, for this guest spot.
We're not going to be that hard on you, Jackson, so no worries. Jackson, when you're in a social situation and you're meeting people for the first time and they ask you what you do, what is their initial reaction to you being involved in wrestling?
Just like probably most guys. Well, I don't know. It depends. It depends on the person. If I had to break it down into categories, probably two big responses. One of them would be, oh, that's badass. Have you wrestled John Cena? and then the other response is,
oh, that fake stuff. Have you wrestled John Cena? It both goes back to Cena, because even though people, you know, a lot of guys say he can't work or whatever they say about him, he's pretty over because non-wrestling fans know who John Cena is. Guy does a great job promoting himself. So, yeah, those are the two answers I get. Usually once I tell them about it or describe pro wrestling, you know, what I do, they oftentimes get it mixed up with UFC. And but once they figure it out, they say, oh, yeah, you look like a wrestler. And I said, yeah, I think so, just a little bit.
Well, we've said it on the show many times. You know, not a huge Cena supporter, but John Cena has literally done more for the WWE, not so much as in the ring, but as in outside the ring as well. You know, being he is the face of the WWE, whether people want to admit it or not. So, you know, I could understand that. Now, were you involved in athletics in school, Jackson?
Yes, I played pretty much my entire life. I played baseball, football, basketball. As I got older into high school, I got rid of baseball. I just got bored with it. It was more of a fundamental sport, I guess. Not that I ever had bad fundamentals, but I was just more of a – I think a lot of times I fueled myself off of some adrenaline, and that's how I played. So I got out of baseball pretty quick. Played basketball and football throughout high school. In college, I haven't got to say this much. I actually walked on to a Division II school, North Greenville University, and quickly I made the team. Quickly found out that wasn't where I wanted to be. Floated around for a semester, and then I actually pretty much walked on to Newberry College, where I played the next 3 years and started practically all 3 years.
Okay. In your opinion, what is the difference between wrestling and sports entertainment?
Well, if you're just saying wrestling, like amateur, I think, that's a difficult question.
Let's stick with pro wrestling. I should have clarified myself. To you,
okay.
What is the difference between pro wrestling and sports entertainment?
That's difficult, man. I don't know if I can really clarify that, because I think the way it works now is they go hand in hand. You can't really, unless it's like your gimmick, you know, unless you're someone like in WCW, Malenko, who was strictly, he was a wrestler, and that's what people saw. He walked out, if you watch him in his matches, you know, the way he approached a match would be probably just like somebody would approach an amateur contest.
Right.
He walked out, you know, rubbing his wrist like he's getting ready to fight someone. But obviously, you know, you can't have a sports entertainment side without having guys that can do that. So I really don't know if I can clarify a difference between those. They're sort of it's been all bundled together, and they go hand in hand now. I don't know if I really have an answer for that, actually.
You know, Malenko was billed as the man of 1,000 holds. Another guy that comes to mind, you threw him out, Lance Storm, a guy that was, you know, probably one of the most technically gifted wrestlers, you know, in that particular time era, but yet couldn't get over because he basically had no personality, or that was the perception. But you listen to you read the guy on Twitter, and he's funnier than hell.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And you know, I've met Malenko. You know, not talked to him a lot, but when I've done some extra spots, I got to talk to him in the back, and he's the same way. Pretty like. He's a nice guy, you know, and I've seen him joke around with guys in the back, and you know, so maybe that whole gimmick was something they kind of tossed on him, and I mean, I don't think anyone would be fine with, or like not be okay with that, you know. Hey, you don't really have to cut a lot of promos, just look mean all the time and do your technical stuff in the ring, and
and that's how you're going to be. And I don't know if a lot of people would argue with that, because, you know, I know a lot of guys that enjoy the technical part of it. That's the fun part. As much as
right.
it doesn't seem like it, I enjoy that.
Very cool.
I mean, speaking of Lance Storm, I don't know if I'm sure y'all might ask about this later. I'm actually, I get the opportunity to train under him later on this month, and I'm pretty stoked about that.
Very cool. No, we will. Yeah, towards the end, we'll get some of your dates coming up and what you're doing and stuff like that, but that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm excited.
Cool.
Well, let me ask you this, Jackson. A lot of people are saying that you are the future of PWX. And how do you respond to that, and how do you plan on living up to those expectations?
I saw that somewhere. I don't know who posted it. Then Adrian Rohr maybe said that somewhere. I'm not sure. But,
yes.
He's a great guy, and not just because he puts me over, but he's a supporter of wrestling, so it's awesome that he does that. But, I don't know. I mean, I don't I'm guessing it's just something people see in me, maybe. I don't know if it's I have some charisma, or maybe I have the look that everybody talks about. But maybe I am. We'll see how that goes, depending on, you know, how I keep progressing there. But just about PWX, that was I'm very good friends with John Schuyler, someone who sort of took me under his wing early. And when I got on at PWX for the first time, Schuyler told me that he was like, "This is a place where you really develop and learn things." And I immediately showed up there for the first show, and just the locker room is tremendous. Isn't even a word, like, that doesn't even work for how awesome this locker room is to describe it. So I got in there, and I've been having great matches. I specifically remember my last match. I wrestled Drew Myers, and
it was
at the PWX show. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It was a fun match. Drew was awesome. He's a pretty entertaining guy. There's usually a crowd of guys, supporters, that go to pretty much every PWX show. And I remember after the match, I got up, I was celebrating the win, and I sort of leaned over the top rope, and I looked down in that front row. And I could see, you know, everyone was clapping and cheering because I won, but I could see a few guys in the front row that I'd seen at a lot of shows. And I don't know who the guy was, but I made eye contact with this one guy. And just the way he was clapping his hands and the way he was looking at me, it was sort of that, all right, I finally approve of Jackson James and PWX. And that's really how I felt. I looked down there, and while I was celebrating, I thought, all right, these guys finally understand, like, I'm here for a reason, you know. I'm not going to say a gimmick, because I'm pretty much myself in the ring, an expansion of myself, I guess. And I could kind of see that it was like a nod of approval, like, okay, he's here and he's going to do something. To live up to all of that, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. My days basically consist of cooking food, busting my ass in the gym. And I don't know if you guys, I know you follow me on social media. I usually try to post something every day about being in the gym or pictures, whatever it might be.
You sure studying, do.
studying matches I don't know. It's just it's something that's really coming natural to me. And I'm really, like, finding, not so much a gimmick again, I'm just sort of finding myself and figuring out how it all flows and how everything works. And PWX has just been a tremendous place for me to grow. And I think that's why, maybe that's why people are saying that. Maybe they see me start out as, you know, I came in my first match there in a dark match with Cauliflower Chase Brown. And
I was there, yeah.
yeah, you know, he got me in that arm bar, Kimura or whatever it is he does,
mm-hmm.
and beat me in about 4 minutes. And I think people have seen me sort of evolve from being that guy to what I am now. Just being myself and working hard, and I really think that it's going to continue to grow for me, and that's going to be a place where I get a following and hopefully eventually win a title at some point.
Well, I hope you do too. I hope you do too. It'd be great to see you take on maybe Lance Lude for his ITV title.
It would.
The group of guys in the front row, I was sitting in the same front row, they're called the Dangerous Alliance, and yes, they come to every PWX show. And if you can get over with them, you're doing pretty good. Because they're hardcore wrestling fans.
I learned that pretty quick about PWX. I learned that, and to be honest, the reason I think Brian was interested in me, obviously one of the first things he said was, you have a good look. And
right. Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear from a lot of people. But you know,
well, I'll tell you do.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. Yeah.
So with the PWX, the way it works there, you know, a lot of it is, a lot of people call it the Ring of Honor of the South, you know, so there's a lot of strong style type matches.
Yep.
That's not, like, I definitely know that I could hang in those matches. Like, I know that I'm conditioned enough and can do enough things to participate in something similar to that. You know, just some of those crazy, crazy bouts that Caleb and Cedric have had recently. There's no doubt in my mind that I could hop in a match with either one of them and do what they do. And but I really think that the first time Brian got to see me work was he was interested in me because I was a little bit bigger than a lot of the guys there, different build, I guess. I do have a lot of tattoos, which I think some guys there uh-huh. do as well, but I guess mine stand out because I have a big one on my chest and I have an entire sleeve. And I think I work a little more old school than a lot of people there. It's just a different style. Obviously, I'm going to adapt to whoever I'm with. I have a feeling if I wrestled Lance Lude, he's probably going to toss me around the ring with some Hurricane Ranas. I believe that would probably happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my style sort of appealed to the people there, and that's why I ended up getting that opportunity in the first place. Just be a big, mean, not so much a powerhouse, but just an aggressive, like, I don't give a shit kind of guy. Just being myself, I suppose.
Well, you can't go wrong with being yourself at all. And there's an issue that I want to throw out there because I've seen it on social media, and I want you to respond to it just because I think you deserve to get your side of it out. A lot of people are saying that your work with Tessa Blanchard is riding her coattails, and I want to know what your response to that is.
All right. Well, I'll just the last podcast I did, I actually gave a little background on Tessa and I. We met through social media. We were friends through that. She is getting bookings, as far as I know, all over the country right now. And she and I are very good friends. We spoke today, and she told me, actually, that someone asked if we were dating. But it's not like that at all. She's more of like, I think I told you the other day, she's more of like a sister. You know, I try to help her out because even though I'm green, I've been doing it a little longer than her, so I try to help her as much as I can, give her advice. But, yeah, riding her coattail, I think I've heard a few people say that about Cameron Cade as well, which I don't know.
Oh, Cam.
Cameron and I don't talk too much, but, yeah, what's funny about that is a lot of people, you know, they talk about things and they don't really understand the backstory or know anything about it. I'm working, and Tess is as well, I'm working Brad Armstrong Memorial this upcoming weekend in Milton, Florida. They just had one in Knoxville, but they're having one in Milton as well. They had two. I got booked on that. And, you know, they actually asked me if I could get Tessa, if I had contact with Tessa to bring her. So the first thing that ever happened was I actually got her booked on as far as I know, a pretty big show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big deal, a memorial show for someone like Brad Armstrong. So I think it's pretty funny that people are saying I'm riding her coattail. Not to put anything, you know, take anything from her. She has helped me get bookings. But it works both ways. I've helped her get bookings. We worked together in, what was the city? Graysville, Alabama. And the people there loved us in a it was a good way, but they hated us. Like, we got so much heat. And that really, some people there who helped us get booked on the show, who kind of had heard about us and seen us together, I think it impressed them a little bit more than what they thought they were going to get. And there's a few clips on YouTube, actually, of she and I at that show. And I don't know if people have seen that, but we work well together. And as much as people might say I'm riding her coattail because of her name, I suppose, you know, that's not the case. We're good friends. I'd get her booked on a show just like I would get any of the guys booked on a show. If someone calls me up and needs a girl, obviously, you know, me and Tessa are good friends. So I call Tessa and say,
hey,
you know somebody. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, people can think that if they want to think that. I like to think that I've done a lot for myself in a year in the business, and it's going to sound bad, but I've done a lot of shit that people haven't done in 1 year. And I don't think any of that has to do with Tessa Blanchard. I think a lot of that has to do with me being Jackson James and doing what I do and working my ass off.
That is fair enough. And speaking of something that you did on your own, we know, Caleb Conley was on Raw this past Monday as a Rosebud. And
yes.
I was wanting to ask you what your experience was like as a Rosebud, because you were in the rabbit costume, right?
I was. I was booked on the TVs for it was May 12th and 13th for the Raw and then the SmackDown taping. And somebody from corporate at WWE texted me like 2 days before the show, and they were like, hey, you know, we need some more people. And as soon as they texted me and asked that, I said, all right, I know we're going to do some Adam Rose stuff, because Adam Rose had just debuted on Raw the week before. So I ended up sending them some names, and we got several people on the show, mainly women that girls in the area that were workers, some weren't. But anyways, yeah, so we showed up, and I showed up pretty much knowing that I was going to do that. And while we're kind of picking out the Rosebud costumes, I'm backstage, and it's me and Billy Brash, Big Game James. Who else was with us? Anyways, they're all grabbing their costumes, and then and then Adam Rose goes, who wants to be the bunny? And so I'm like, you know, I look back, and he's like, it's a big paw. It really is. And I was like, all right, I'll be the bunny. You know, so in my head, I'm thinking there's no other way that I'm going to show these guys that I have more charisma than being this bunny and walking out on stage first and just acting a fool. Little did I know that the bunny had some really wide holes in the mask for the eyes, and I could not see anything, not to mention I was burning up in that costume. So I'm literally, and I don't know, I've seen them use a different costume since, but I've also seen the same one. I guess it just depends on which one they have. I walked out on stage and I couldn't see anything at all. Like I couldn't see where I was walking. I had to have the little lemon. I had to have him guide me down the ramp to make sure I didn't fall on my face. And you can't really see it if you go watch the Raw. If you go watch the Raw from that day, as we're going around the back of the stage where the announcer's table is, Dutch, or his new name, Zeb. Zeb is standing on the ring apron, and if you look, I get up real close to him and kind of dance for a second, and he kicks his leg at me. And I remember him saying, "Be sure I don't kick you." And I was just thinking to myself when I did it, I was just thinking, I hope he doesn't kick me because I can't see how close I am to him. I just know I'm going to mock him and then get out of the way. So you can actually see that. It was an experience. You know, I got to meet Adam Rose, got to meet Becky Lynch, Braun Strowman, Simon Gotch, who's wrestling in NXT right now. I think one of the coolest things about being a Rosebud was my buddy Levi Cooper, who is now, I can't even remember his NXT ring name now. I'm not sure of his work name. But we had a tryout together at FCW when I had my first tryout with WWE about a year ago, year and a month. And that's the first time I'd seen him since, you know, and he got signed and went to developmental, and it was good catching up with him because we didn't get to talk too much when we went down to Tampa, but it was pretty cool seeing someone I knew there, you know, and getting to talk to him, and I really enjoyed it. Since we're on that topic, if you don't mind me telling a funny story that I think is pretty interesting.
Go right ahead.
It has to do with the bunny costume. So while I was there, when you do these extra spots, I don't know how many people have talked about this, it's very rare to see Vince, like incredibly rare. You know, you see Triple H, you see, I see Brian James, Road Dogg, a lot of the guys that are up there, but to see Vince, I just don't think it happens very much. Well, we're getting ready to do rehearsals to go out on stage with the Rosebuds, and I'm in a hurry, so I eat some stuff out of the catering, you know, and I'm going to get on stage, and I stopped, and I was like, man, I need to pee before we go out here because, you know, I don't want to be out on the stage and have to pee. So I go in the bathroom, I took my mask off and set it somewhere outside. So I'm in the bunny costume with no top, and no head on it. And I'm in the urinal peeing, and then hear the door open, and I turn and look, and it's Vince McMahon walking in the bathroom. And so I mean it's a pretty epic first time I met Vince story. And as soon as he walks in, he just kind of stops for a second and shrugs his shoulders and goes, "Oh, how you doing, kid?" And I was like, I said, "I'm doing well. I'm about to go get my bunny on." And he just kind of laughed at me. And then a few seconds later, I guess he's a security guard that follows Vince around, pokes his head in the door and sees me in there in the bunny costume with no head on, peeing in the urinal. I just think it's a pretty awesome story.
That's funny.
That's funny.
I'm hoping that one day when I get to meet Vince again, I'm going to be like, "You remember that time you walked in on that bunny pissing? That was me."
That'd be cool.
By the way, you're too pretty to put in the bunny costume as well, so. Just want to say that.
Well, I didn't mind being in the bunny. A lot of people popped for that. The funniest thing was after the show when we were driving from Greenville to, I believe the other show's in Greensboro, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were on the way, and I stopped at a QT, you know, to grab like a Monster and a protein bar, and I saw little kids that had just left Raw. And I would walk over to them, and I'd say, "You remember that bunny?" And they'd be like, yeah. I said, "That was me." And all these little kids in the QT were flipping out, and it was pretty funny.
Oh.
That's cool. Folks.
Yeah, I didn't mind being the bunny, really.
There you go. Folks, our studio number is 213-816-1605. We're on the air with Jackson James. Jackson, you feel like taking a phone call?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
All right, let's see who this is. 828, you're on with Live from the Armory.
Hey, guys, what's up?
How you doing?
Hey! Pretty good. How are you?
Good. What are you doing tonight?
Coming out, I wanted to check out and give you a shout out from the Burke County boys. Got some shows coming up this weekend. Jackson, enjoy the bunny story. Friday, Sugar Grove, Cove Creek School. If you're there in Boone, come see the Burke County boys and Heartbreakers and tons of other guys. Sunday, come support Freight Train. Join England. Yeah, hey, you know, get on the Kickstarter, pay the money, you know, give a guy a chance to go, you know, see another country. How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing good, Big Donnie. We had Jake on a little bit earlier. I know that you didn't call in to plug any of these events that we've already plugged. You called in because it's your birthday and you tomorrow, and you wanted us to wish you a happy birthday early. That's why you called.
Well, not really. I've been working, and actually I didn't get to hear, like, the first part of the show. I didn't know Jake had been on.
Jake was on.
I wanted to call, you know, plug the shows. I just like the free, like, 15 minutes.
Jake was on, talked about the shows, and put you over like a flapjack. You're a day late and a dollar short, bub.
Oh, really?
He did, Donnie. He did.
Great things, great things.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Big Donnie. How about you?
Good. Doing well. All right. Just wanted to give y'all a shout-out real quick. Y'all have a good night, and be safe this weekend. And to the wrestling world out there, BCB for life. See y'all.
All right, boss man. We'll see you. Nothing better than a run-in from Burke County boy and $5 wrestling star Big Donnie.
Big Donnie.
During the middle of Jackson James' interview. Gotta love it.
It's all good, man. You gotta put your shows over, right? You gotta get that word out.
I understand completely. Jackson, we've talked to several other wrestlers about this. I wanted to get your opinion on it. Do you feel it's easier for someone to break into wrestling now as opposed to, say, just 5 years ago with, you know, I've heard, we've had a couple of guests on that says, you know, all you need now is a YouTube channel and a video camera, and almost anybody can make it seem like they've been in wrestling forever. What are your thoughts on that?
5 years ago, I wouldn't know the difference, because obviously I wasn't, I was a fan of the business, but I didn't know as much as I know now about how it works. In general, I do think it's a lot easier now. Just having a video camera and, a YouTube channel, I don't think that's quite enough, because there are plenty of wrestling videos on YouTube that are the shits, and no one's really going to enjoy it. People are going to bash it. I think a lot of people, I've gotten heat for this because my start's different than a lot of guys. I didn't go to a school for a year and pay tons of money to be trained or do anything like that. I think it is easier. I bet a lot of guys have a similar start to me, to be honest. There's not as many, I don't think there's as many places to really get trained as there used to be, at least by someone who would be considered an accredited trainer. For instance, I credit Dr. Tom Pritchard with teaching me a lot about psychology, a lot about the business, a lot about my in-ring work, technical things like that.
But as far as I know, you can't. He doesn't run a training school. You know, he does mm-hmm. seminars and his camps and stuff. But you can't approach him and say, "Hey, man, I want you to train me from being nothing in this business to where I'm ready to start working matches."
Right.
I don't know if there's a lot of places to do that. I know you can do it at High Spots with George South, I believe. That's what it's like. What Tessa does.
Right.
At least where I'm from, there's no one within. My good friend Bob Keller does it in Columbia, South Carolina. He trains guys,
mm-hmm.
and Bob knows plenty about the business and knows how to. I mean, he can work. He's good at what he does. So I think, you know, for my health, if someone was in my area, and not saying that you shouldn't drive that far, but it's just it's not as well known as it used to be to get trained by someone, I don't think, at least. It's also at the places where there are people training, some people are just so laid back about it. And that's just a completely different, it's just a different scene now. I have, not that I'm in what's the word I'm looking for? I shouldn't be training people, you know, but, you know, I like to help out when I see people who want to train and get better. So, you know, mm-hmm. if it's like some guys that are greener than me before a show, maybe I can help them a little bit, you know, do little things to help them, show them little things. And the place I originally, like, took my first bump at was a small place called SWA in Westminster, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And they still train, like, two times a week. And, you know, I'm not the guy to kill anyone's dreams, but there's guys there that shouldn't be training that don't have the heart to do it. They want to be a wrestler, but they don't want to get in shape. They don't want to eat right. They don't want to get in and roll around just two times a week for 3 or 4 hours before they have to hop up and leave. And I've tried to go help them, and I literally, the 2 or 3 times I've helped, I ran one kid off immediately. It wasn't because I was being a douchebag. It was because he was out of shape and he didn't want to do anything. And I pretty much told him, if I'm going to be here and help out, I'm not going to help you if you're not going to try to make yourself better outside of this.
Right.
So I think I'm pretty old school minded in the fact that it's not easy and it shouldn't be easy. And I really, even if people say I didn't do the old school way to get into the business, I'm smart enough to understand how that should be. You know, I was fortunate enough to, and I'm not even going to say that. I'm not going to say I was fortunate enough to play a college sport. I busted my ass and I went to college, and I got a degree and I got an education. I learned how to talk to people and how to network and things like that. And I also learned from football how things just aren't handed to me. And as much as people might think things have been handed to me, they haven't been. I've been busting my ass. So, you know, aside from the fact that I've not done all the old school things, I firmly believe in that's how it should be. And I just think people are let in too easily, way too easily.
Right.
And it kills it at times. It does. I think it's probably way different than it used to be, and it sucks.
Okay.
You guys know Malice. You know of John Malice?
John, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Yeah.
You said John Malice?
Yeah.
John Malice,
yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You know, one of my first trips I went on with John, we were just talking about the business, and I'll never forget him saying this, just talking about how bad it is now and how there's so many people that aren't trained or just don't have the passion for it but want to be wrestlers. And he said what kills the business is the fact that sometimes you're in the ring with guys who are quote-unquote wrestlers or pro wrestlers, and that guy should be buying a ticket to watch you be a pro wrestler. And I'll never forget Malice telling me that. And that just kind of, it made sense, you know, because I think a lot of times people are let in very easy now. Yeah, I think it's way different. I know that's a long answer. You know, there's still guys who do old school training, and I've seen videos of guys kicking people out of their training camps for being out of shape and not being prepared for what the physical part of it is going to be.
Right. Jackson, how has social media, if at all, helped your career?
Oh, man. The easiest way I can describe is I've networked with people, specifically John James, Road Dogg, who works for WWE still and is pretty much a direct ear to Triple H, Hunter. We met through Twitter, and he was the first guy who he saw my first match that I ever had, and he called his attention. He said, you know, that's your first match. How long have you trained? And I said, about a month. And so he's kept up with me on that. He got me booked on my first TVs, and that's sort of been an ongoing friendship. Since, you know, Twitter's been a huge part. Other than that, you know, I hear about stuff, Grand Prix Fan Fest. I heard about that on social media, which is where I met Dr. Tom Pritchard and pretty much revamped my short career at that point. Other than that, man, I mean, it just it gets your name out there, and it's a networking tool. Like sometimes I hate it. I hate that I have to check my Instagram all the time, and I hate that I have to check Facebook and check Twitter. But it's part of wrestling. It's part of my career now because a lot of people contact me through those things to get booked. Here recently, I've had my Twitter grow a good bit. I've had my Instagram grow tremendously. You know, now I'm about to have a ProWrestlingTees.com store set up, which
awesome.
And that will be soon. They have all the paperwork. I'm waiting on that to get finalized, and I'm going to submit my designs. You know, they used to not be like this, but now the only way that you can get a ProWrestlingTees.com store is to have over 2,000 Twitter followers.
Believe me, we know.
Yeah, we know.
Or you have to be a former legend, you know, someone that everybody knows.
Right.
If you don't sell, I think if you don't sell with around 25 shirts or something within the first 90 days, they take your store down.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely gonna use social media to be promoting that to keep that alive because that's another means of income. You know, you gotta.
No kidding.
Yeah, you gotta keep it all working together and cohesive unit. And that
sure
social media.
You know.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you. Speaking of social media, I did a little snooping and saw a tweet. How do you know Todd Chrisley?
Oh, wow. this is funny. Todd Chrisley grew up in my hometown, Westminster, South Carolina. He and my mom were good friends growing up. And I was literally sitting in my house one day. My mom never told me this. And, you know, their show's been out for quite some time. My mom's just sitting there, and she's like, oh, I remember Chrisley, you know, from when we were younger, and just starts telling me all these stories, and I just told my mom, I was like, I'm going to tweet him, you know, see what he says. And so I ended up tweeting Todd Chrisley, and of course he responded, because obviously he knew my mom once I mentioned her name. And so I don't know him personally, but my mom does. They were very good friends. from what she says. And that was when he was younger, up until like 8th or 9th grade. But she said when they were little kids, they had a little group of friends, and they were all very close. So, yeah, that's the Todd Chrisley story. I wish he'd put me on that show.
Yeah, no kidding. I love that show. It's hilarious. I think I was looking through maybe your Instagram, or it might have even been your Twitter feed, and I saw that and I thought, oh my God, he knows Todd Chrisley. Or it was about your mom, and it was a very sweet tweet. I love your mother. I hope she's doing well. It was just really sweet, and I thought that was really nice of him to do that for you. I'd like to ask you, what's it been like teaming with Gangrel?
Oh, that was, I've been wrestling about 6 months at that point, probably, and I wasn't even booked on that show. I showed up. Again, Bob Keller, guy who runs his school in, or I don't know if it's really a school, but he trains some in Columbia and also helps run the WrestleForce shows. I can't remember who Gangrel's partner was, but he did it show. And there I am, that green kid who no one really knew, but Bob puts me over to the guy who booked the shows there, the guy who promotes it, and they stick me in this match with Gangrel, and he is, aside from, you know, what people might know him from on WWE, obviously, he is that guy. He is crazy and kind of creepy, but one of the most fun guys to talk to. Just a great guy. And it was exciting. We're going to walk out, and they start playing the Brood's music. And here I am wrestling 6 months, and I'm walking out with Drill to the Brood's music, and he does his blood gimmick. It was awesome. It really was. And that showed me pretty quick that I've not that I was on his level by any means, but it was like, you know, like you can be in the ring with guys who have done this for a long time. You know, it's a learning experience, and even though you're really keen, you're gonna have to be in the ring with these guys. And we went out and had a great match. To date, that's the only match that I've stood in the ring afterward, and the fans chanted 5 more minutes. They really liked that match.
Wow!
Yeah,
it was very fun, and Gangrel was an awesome guy.
That's pretty dang impressive.
It was a fun match.
Well, I would be in awe, because you know I grew up watching the Brood, you know myself. I would totally be in awe. I can just imagine everything that was going through your mind at that point. Jackson, I want to thank you for coming on our show and spending time with us and letting us know a little bit about you and letting our listeners know. And I hope to see you in PWX next month. Enjoy seeing you wrestle, and I think you're going to go far in PWX. I think you're right. I think it's a good home base for you. And again, want to thank you for coming on and sharing a little bit of your life with our listeners. And I would like to ask you a favor. We ask each guest to record a little bump for us so that we can put in the intro something along the lines, you know, this is Jackson James, and you're listening to Live from the Live from the Armory. See, everybody messes that up. Live from the Armory Wrestling show. Any way you want to do it, any take, you know, you want to spin, you want to put on, just go right ahead whenever you're ready.
All right, sounds good now.
Yeah, you can go now, Jackson.
Yeah.
This is Jackson James, and you are listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Show.
Thank you very much for that, Jackson. What upcoming events do you have so that the fans can want to come out and see you? Where can they find you at? I know that you had mentioned the Brad Armstrong show coming up, and I know that is – hold on here, I just had it up. Jeez. This is the joy of technology right here. This is July 19th at the Milton Community Center in Milton, Florida. This is the second annual Brad Armstrong Memorial. What promotion is that for?
I'm not sure, actually, if there is a specific promotion associated with it.
Yeah, I don't see one listed on the flyer.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, I think a place out of Knoxville ran the last one, and some of their bookers and promoters kind of got it together. And I think this one has actually been a just a sort of not thrown together, but there's just been a lot of people having some input, so I don't think there's a specific promotion.
Okay.
I do know that the night before there is a WWE house show in Pensacola, so you know, the Pensacola community are probably going to get a great weekend of wrestling. You know, having a WWE house show the night before, and then a Brad Armstrong Memorial, just going to have a good amount of talent, I believe. I think Brian James, Road Dogg, is going to be making an appearance there as well. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that'll be a fun weekend for all of them. July 26th, I'm in Forest City for SWA. 27th, I was in PWX, so obviously Brian told me that place, he was scared he would need some shit kicker walking the building because of how dirty it was. So that's
right.
Not happening. Yeah. August 9th, I'm at Trans South Union, South Carolina. 16th and 17th, PWX. A new place I will be at in August will be UCW, somewhere in South Atlanta. I'm not sure the exact location, but you can find them on Facebook. Other than that, I have the camp. Greg Price is Legends, Mid-Atlantic Legends Fan Fest, and the camp that he runs with that, which Dr. Tom Pritchard runs with Les Thatcher. Nigel McGuinness will be there. Lance Storm, tons of people. I think there's like 40-plus participants in the camp this year. And then they also have shows there. I'm not sure how – I know a lot of the matches are booked. That's a really good card if you guys have – I'm sure you guys have been keeping up with that. You know, possibly I'll be in one of those matches on those two nights they run. Did you have a question?
No, we were just listening to you.
I thought someone said something. But
no.
That's about it for the next, like, 2 months. I mean, I have other dates, but I don't want to go too far.
I understand. If fans want to find you on social media, Jackson, how do they do that?
Instagram and Twitter is Real Jackson James, and that's J-A-X-S-O-N. Facebook, they can search Jackson James. I have a Jackson James page. Go like it. Also add me as a friend on there. That's about it, actually. My new contact on Facebook.
Very cool. Jackson, I want to thank you very much for coming on the program tonight. We certainly appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, sir. You have a good night.
You too.
All right.
Thanks, Jackson.
Thank you, Laura. It was nice talking.
It's nice talking to you.
And there goes Jackson. Very cool. Very cool. Obviously, folks ran over a little bit because of the technical difficulties that we had earlier in the program. Going to run down a couple of last.
We had great guests.
Yes, we did have great guests. Any busy show, you're keeping me up. Let's see here. I'm going to run down a couple of cards, and then we're going to wrap things up. CWF Mid-Atlantic presents No Excuses Saturday, July 19th, Mid-Atlantic Sportatorium in Gibsonville, North Carolina, 7:30 bell time. Scheduled to appear Mecha Mercenary, Michael McAllister. Plus, they will be having the Weaver Cup tournament action to decide finalist number 3 in the Weaver Cup that will be coming up at the later on in the year. This is a pretty big card here. Maryland Championship Wrestling will be having the Shamrock Cup 2014, Saturday, July 19th at the Joppa Marketplace in Joppa, Maryland. The doors open at 5:30. This is one of the Northeast premier tournaments. There are too many talents to list here, but a few of them that will be appearing. 2013 winner Luke Hawks will be in action, former show guest. Matt Hardy, Devon Dudley, former WWE diva Caitlin will be there, and also former WWE TNA talent Shelly Martinez will also be making an appearance. You can find out information on this at www.marylandwrestling.com. I put this one in just for Josie. Steel Domain Wrestling, Saturday, July 19th, Hopkins Pavilion in Hopkins, Minnesota, 6:30 bell time. This is billed as the eighth level of hate match, Colt Cabana versus Adam Pearce. You knew that that feud was just too good to just fade away into the dark. Info on this show can be found at www.steeldomainwrestling.com. And last but certainly not least, NWA Elite Second Annual Super Show, Sunday, July 20th, East Park Recreation Center in Houma, Louisiana, 3:30 meet and greet, 5 p.m. bell time. Scheduled to appear, WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, John Saxon, Andy Dalton, Scott Phoenix, Byron Wolcott, Steve Anthony, and more. All info for that can be found at elitechampionshipwrestling.com. Folks, we've come down to that magical time where we're going to announce our next week's show guest. It is a return guest because we actually had to split the show, and we felt it only fair that we bring Josie Morgan back, wrestling photographer. We had a ton of other stuff that we wanted to talk to her about, want to get her thoughts on everything from Ring of Honor, Kevin Steen's moving out of Ring of Honor, to CM Punk's retirement, a bunch of different stuff. Colt Cabana, we always have fun with Josie, and can't wait to get her back on the program next week. We'll also be giving you our thoughts on some wrestling subjects that the fans have been asking us about, so we'll have that, and of course all the indie news. I can tell you that July going into August, it is just stacked with shows, so we're got a lot of stuff to cover for you. Certainly appreciate you tuning in and listening. Wherever you may be at, we're here every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. We're also on iTunes. Laura, do you have anything you want to say to the fans before we go?
Two things. Speaking of Miss Josie, she and I are heading up to Roanoke tomorrow night to see Mick Foley. I'm so excited. You just don't understand. He's doing his comedy thing. So he's going to be up in Roanoke. So she's heading up the mountain to pick me up, and we're going up to Roanoke to see Mick Foley. And the second thing I want to say is that, remember, it's Cade's Kingdom. We just live in it.
Yes. And the last thing to remember is Caleb Conley should have worn the bunny suit. Remember, folks, there's never a bad seat at the Armory. We'll see you next week.
Whoop, whoop.
Been listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Radio Show. Listen to us on blogtalkradio.com every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at From the Armory. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/live.armory.9. If you like what you hear, please take a few moments to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Thank you for listening. See you next week.